Welcome, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants will be in a listen-only mode until the question-and-answer session of the conference. To ask a question at that time, please press star one. Today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. I would now like to introduce your host for today's call, Johann Varno, lead architect for TDI. You may begin.
Hey, good morning or afternoon, everybody. This is an attempt to introduce you to TDI for those of you who haven't learned anything about what that product before. We also plan to walk through the features in version 7.1 that just became available. I will do so by showing some examples of how TDI is being used out in the real world. There will be ample time for questions and answers towards the end, and I do hope that you have downloaded the presentation that I will be talking to. You can certainly listen in and get a lot of value from that too, but it will help to have the illustrations up. So I'll jump to the first slide, basically slide number two after the introduction, and kick off with what really does TDI do? It's a name that a lot of people get confused of because it talks to direct reintegration, and most people know that TDI can do a lot more. So the basic point is that TDI is a tool that helps you move data from one place to another. And while doing so, it can modify that information, it can add logic to the transformation of this data, and it can read and write from very many different sources and systems. So it is a very generic product, but you'll see that once you start learning what TDI can do, you see that you get a very interesting kind of conversation going with our customers, and particularly in the security space where customers have data in many different systems, and they often would like to get a better organization of that information and pull it together, and often in ways that we don't necessarily provide in our identity products, such as TIM and TAM and the other solutions. So we quite often see that customers have requirements that are different or they are more complicated than what we can do with our applications for this, and that's where TDI very often comes in as a very, very handy tool. The challenge with this is that this is not an easy product to explain to business people because it's a very general problem, and the business people expect that our product solves these issues. But when you talk to technical people, then they will very, very quickly understand what you're talking about because they know that the real world is filled with dirty data. Dirty data is data that you expect is something, but surprise, surprise, is not what you expected and will mess up a project pretty quickly. And so my first suggestion is that if you do get to talk to a customer where you believe that TDI will be an issue, make sure that the customer has some technical people attending that meeting so it doesn't become a difficult sell to somebody who might not be able to understand the finer nuances. So let me jump on to slide number three, where you'll see a diagram of the different type of systems that TDI can talk to. We call these connectors. So you'll see a long, long list of all sorts of technologies, from databases and files and directories, web services, and more. And you'll also see on the right-hand side a number of systems, such as Maximo and PeopleSoft and SAP. And in the middle, we have these assembly lines that are the workflows that TDI executes. And those assembly lines is what you build in TDI. I'm not going to go into much detail of this, but that's basically the core idea is that you build assembly lines that pulls information from any of these sources and pushes it off into other sources. And very key in TDI is its ability to detect and discover changes in the source systems. That is something that is not obvious to most people before you describe to them that a customer might have a huge list of users coming out of an SAP system, and they might not allow you to go into that SAP system through the interfaces that SAP exposes. They might say, nope, you can't touch my SAP system, you get this file. Okay, so but what has changed in this file since last week or last day? No, they can't tell you that either. That's up to you to figure out. But TDI has built-in capabilities that can read through pretty large amounts of data pretty quickly and determine what records are new, which ones have been modified, and even which ones are not there that were there the last time, meaning they were deleted from the source system. So what I'll do now is that I will talk a little about the positioning of TDI, try to explain at some levels what it does. I'll dig a little bit into the architecture of the product, and I will describe various ways that TDI has solved a variety of integration challenges. Then I'll talk to TDI 7.1, the specifics of what's new in 7.1. And finally, I will talk to the Easy ETL and feature in TDI 7.1, which makes it very, very demoable, to use a word that doesn't exist, to new users. It's a very, very popular tool that quickly makes people understand what TDI can do without bringing up the slightly more complex TDI tooling that has been the traditional and only choice you have had. So next slide, number four, shows that TDI is used to bridge IBM products with existing environments. So you'll see TDI not just sold as a product in itself, but also bundled with other products, such as with TIM and with TAM in the security space, but also with product in the Lotus organization. So both Domino and Lotus Connections bundled TDI, and other places in Tivoli, so the Tivoli Service Desk, TSRM, and our CCMDB product also bundled TDI to help out integrate with all the stuff that exists in the enterprise where these products haven't been able to work out of the box with the various integration scenarios that customers have. And this slide is, by the way, is often a good one to show to customers. And from that, there will be questions, and it will be easier to describe what actually TDI can do for them. Slide number five is an architecture diagram. It shows you what TDI consists of. In the middle, you'll see two horizontal blue lines that indicates that it runs on Java, and it furthermore, it runs on all the platforms that IBM supports. So it runs equally well on Windows and Linux and iSeries all the way up to ZOS. And so you'll have no problems putting TDI into something that the customer might have. And then above that, you should go all the way to the top of the screen. You see the visual interfaces that we have to TDI. On the upper left corner, there's the Eclipse development environment where you work and test and develop your solutions. And in the middle, there's the web-based administration and monitoring tool for TDI that is built in. You can, of course, monitor TDI with other solutions as well, but there's a built-in product that you can use if you don't have anything else. And then finally, there's a command line that allows you to drive TDI from other places than where TDI might be running. So you can have batch files on Unix that executes and drives TDI solutions running on ZOS. So there's a good amount of flexibility in how you deploy a TDI solution. So all in the middle here, you have the layers that we call them, the connectors and the parsers that allows us to talk to systems. Some customers develop their own connectors. Some are available on Opal and published on other websites. And then, of course, there's a large number of connectors and parsers delivered out of the box with TDI. And this structure here is also one that helps customers understand that there's an engine that actually executes this. And on the right-hand side, there's a list of APIs that allows other applications to to call into TDI and make TDI do work for them, either calling in with Lisp or using a Java API, for example. The next slide, number 6, is where I'll spend a little bit of time. We call it TDI at work, and it's just used to indicate the variety of problems that TDI can deal with. Of course, you can solve these issues here with other products as well, but it's interesting to see that we have a product that is bundled with TimTam and FIM and TCIM that allows us to solve a pretty interesting breadth, I'd say, of scenarios. So first on the list is Lotus Connections. And they use TDI kind of like Tivoli Identity Manager does, in that they use TDI to load in and maintain the connections users that are managed in a profile database of its own. So that allows Lotus Connection to go out into almost any kind of enterprise and pull in information and maintain this in a way that allows them to deploy Lotus Connections much more quickly than otherwise would have been the case. There's an example here of same time unified telephony that uses TDI to control a PBX middleware that handles the telephone systems that links user databases with the provisioning of similar users inside this middleware. Next is the help desk integration, and the TDI is bundled with TSRM, and you'll see a number of solutions that does bi-directional integration of tickets, for example, between help desk systems. So we might be interested in bridging Remedy or InfoMan on the mainframe with TSRM, and TDI does that by listening into the changes in these systems and then transferring these tickets and updating the status across them. Tivoli Identity Manager is well known for many of you, of course, where TDI is a key integration solution, both for ad hoc in the field type of challenges, but also for new TIM connectors, where many of them are being built on TDI itself. Let me jump past a couple of these examples and talk about compliance management, where TDI is used to create input to what was previously known as TCIM, the Insight Manager, where you can use TDI to pull information from any source that TDI can access and create log files that TCIM can consume. And then you'll find TDI being used to create input to TATM and CCMDB and TAM-IT for asset management, where, again, it's been used to pull information out of databases and files and other legacy systems and format this correctly so that it quickly can be loaded into the asset management product. So this is just a little taste of various types of challenges that can be addressed with TDI. The possibilities are practically endless, and the more you've been involved working with TDI, the more you see how TDI can play out and provide a more rapid deployment of some other IBM product. Having said that, it's also quite interesting to see that when customers are not, for example, they aren't ready for a product like TIM, they might have some data cleanup to do, they might feel that it imposes too much of a process for them, then sometimes it's interesting to talk about TDI and maybe let that be an introduction technology for the customer to work with for a while until they clean up their data and are ready for a more of a systematic approach to their user management with TIM. Slide number 7 is one I'm not going to spend too much time on in this call, but it's also a good one to talk to with customers, where it describes in slightly more technical words. We have, for those that are not don't have the slides, the title is TDI is a multipurpose, multidirectional integration, synchronization, and transformation service. Now, of course, that sounds like something from a different planet, but you can talk to each one of those words and describe that. You know, TI will allow you to pull and push information from practically any direction. And if you ever come across a scenario where you wonder whether TI is relevant for that purpose, send me an email. I have my email address on the first slide. I'll be happy to work with you or directly with a customer to discuss, you know, whether TDI is appropriate for the job. The slide number 8 is one I'm not going to talk to now, but it's also one that can be used to explain a little bit about the difference between TDI and other integration products, because we have a good number of integration products in IBM, and sometimes it's challenging, not just for our customers, but for ourselves as well, to understand when is one product more or better for a certain job than another one. And the key thing with TDI is that it really brings you very close to the systems. And you have built-in command line connectors and ability to talk to low-level Java APIs and file systems. And so it plays at a much lower level than the real competition, the real competitive product of TDI is Perl. That is probably the single one product that will be the alternative to implementing something with TDI at a customer. Of course, there are other tools as well, but Perl is a very, very popular tool to as a very, very advanced batch language. And TDI, if anything, competes with that. So now we'll jump to TDI version 7.1. And I'll stick on slide number 9 for a while and talk to some of the major points I think is most exciting. There's a number of cool stuff here, but some of them are more relevant for very vertical use cases, so I'll spend not so much time on that in this call. So first of all, we did a lot of work on the tooling, which is the UI that you use to create TDI assembly lines. We implemented what I'll talk a little bit more afterwards, the EasyETL, which basically is a wizard that makes it really easy to implement the most usual scenarios, which means read from someplace and write to another. It doesn't allow you to do more complex stuff, which TDI is really great at, but it does make it really easy if that is the primary issue dealing with. Secondly, we added what we call a data stepper to TDI that allows you to look at information visually as the assembly line is executing. So rather than hitting run and then, you know, looking at some log output on the screen, you're now able to step through one step at a time and look at all the data going in and out of the connectors in a visual way. Extremely helpful. Some of you have been working with the TDI debugger previously and know that you can do that there as well. The data stepper is intended to be the default way for almost anybody working with TDI to look at the data going. It's very, very helpful before you have to dig into the more advanced debugger tool. Then we've also improved the debugger itself. The debugger, you'll see, I have a slide on that, show you some really, really nice functions, and we've copied some of the new value in the data stepper into the debugger as well. So both those are great candidates for getting you guys that already know TDI to take a look at 7.1. We've also added a really simplified, parts of this was available in 7.0 as well, but now in 7.1, making your own scripted connectors is very, very simple. So you don't have to develop in Java. You can develop nice connectors in JavaScript right there in TDI, so you don't need to install a Java SDK. And you can very easily add a custom configuration screen to that. So it basically looks like any other connector. So that's something that a lot of people ask for, is to be able to much more quickly write connectors without knowing Java and then make them look like any other connector in a TDI library. Okay, so that was the main things we've done in the tooling. I'll get back to that in a couple of slides. Continuing now on the service side, we have added the entitlement to SolidDB, which is a very, very fast database that IBM acquired a few years ago. It is much faster than Darby, which is the current default database in TDI. It's memory-based, optionally, and allows you to implement failover very easily. And you'll see the direct result of that speed in more places than you imagine, because when you use the connectors in TDI for change detection, we use the database connector quite a bit to store persistence, to know what the snapshot of the previous data was, or to remember the sequence numbers of the change log entries and so on. So a faster database has direct impact on the speed of the solution. So customers will experience a pretty dramatic increase in speed, 3 or 4 times, I guess, on their solutions when they're using Delta or change detection in their environment. we've added a part REST API, meaning that it's not an API that provides as much access to the underlying engine as the Java API does, but it's a REST API that is intended to exploit TDI's connectors and assembly lines. And it's based on a protocol called SCMP. It's not you won't find much mention of SCMP outside IBM, but it's widespread being built into the various WebSphere integration products. That allows TDI to play with those in interesting ways. We've also added monitoring capabilities of TDI from Omnibus. Previously, in version 7.0, we added monitoring from ITM. So now you can also monitor TDI from Omnibus. We've upgraded to Java 6, which of course is not a big thing for many. But we have also added a audit and event service to TDI. There's already a pretty significant event notification environment inside TDI, but we've now also added the ability to trap whenever somebody tries to log in to TDI and fail. And this can be secured so that you're able then to create your own custom logic and what to do when something like that occurs. You want an email to be fired off, you want to execute an assembly line, we have your own custom logic that drives this event to some place for secure notification. On the connector side, the biggest thing we've done is a bunch of components for the asset management space in Tivoli. So those of you that know about IDML and creating DLAs, basically are the names of these solutions that pull data out of products to be driven into TBSM or into TATM. We've done quite a bit of work there to support that out of the box. TDI has been used for this for years already, but has always been based on components that have been managed and developed by the service organization. So this was an opportunity to bring those components into TDI formally and add quite a bit of functionality to them. So those of you involved in that type of work, you'll find those components very, very valuable and efficient compared to what used to be the case. Then we did a bunch of things for prepared statements handling, which is a database-specific feature. And this improves the speed very significantly. But again, it's only relevant for those customers that use prepared statements. We've also added what we call a database connector. Of course, we've already been able to talk to databases, but what we've done is to make it a little bit more intuitive, because our current database connector is just what we call a JDBC connector, which is a technical term that requires you to input some fields that are not exactly intuitive to most people. But the new database connector wraps the JDBC connector but provides a user interface that is much simpler to use. So you basically click, if I'm talking to Oracle or DB2 or Microsoft, and it then automatically populates those otherwise slightly more unavailable attributes. And technically, a small thing for some, but a huge thing for others, is that we have added link criteria in iterator mode for some connectors. And this is a very, very helpful feature for those who have missed this. So for database and for Domino and LDAP, those three connectors now have link criteria in iterator mode. So that's about it. There's an installer, of course, which is a big thing, but it doesn't change anything. And there's a couple of red papers out there now also that were developed as part of this release. They're not necessarily part of 7.1 as such, but they're worth picking up and going on search for red papers and TDI, and you'll find some interesting readings. So with this, I'll jump on to the next slide and talk briefly about EasyETL. So that's slide number 10. And the idea here, as we state, is that we want to make it easier to do simple things. And there are many reasons to do this. Experienced TDI users, they put things together pretty quickly, no matter how simple it is. But the challenge is that it's often a hurdle to introduce TDI to new users. Want to bring somebody on board and quickly show them what you can do, and they need to spend an hour or so understanding the concepts in TDI before they have anything rolling. And then the third group are other users in the enterprise that want to need some reporting tool that TDI can do, but there's no way that they'll install Eclipse on their machines and just to sit down and work with a Eclipse type of environment. So this is still Eclipse, but it's a lot easier to work with. And we have a slide here on number 11, which is slightly tongue-in-cheek. But the idea is with EasyETL, we're making integration so easy that even a lazy dog can do it. If you jump then to slide number 12, you'll see some visuals. And this doesn't look easy, but this is about as complex as it gets, and often it will look a lot less complex than this, because what happens is when you pop open TDI and you choose EasyETL, you'll see two tabs or two boxes on the screen. One says source, the other says target. And when dropping down the type of source, it'll show you the list of the most used connectors, such as LDAP and database and file and Domino, and of course provide you access to everything else, but that becomes an extra click, so we try to reduce the complexity for the users a bit. And then you configure that in a very simple little configuration screen, the IP address of the system and the user and password and so on. You click one button and it'll discover the data, and you say, well, what attributes do you want? And you're done with the left side, and then you click on the right side for the target, and you do the same operations there. And then finally, you just link together those pieces on the left hand and the right hand side that you want to go, and you hit the run button. And you can check this one step at a time if you want to verify that things are okay, or you can just run this thing to completion, and you can store this as normal TDI assembly lines. You can, a single click will take the entire solution into full TDI, but you don't have to. You can stay in a simple environment and even add transformations in the middle of the screen. If you need to change some of this data as it moves from the source to the target. So just learning EasyETL, and we have a couple of videos that shows and demonstrates EasyETL at the end of this presentation, and I urge you to click on that, take a look, and you might just be interested in picking up TDI and learning just enough to show customers this very simple way of understanding what actually TDI can do. And then the videos, of course, go on, and they show you, well, the moment you want to do something more complex, that's when you want to click on a link and basically jump into the full TDI, and you can continue with the solution you've made in EasyETL to make a more advanced solution in full TDI. So then I'll switch gears to slide 13, where we discuss the new data stepper. The visual or the picture here is not exactly what it looks like in the end product. We've removed a couple of buttons to make it even more streamlined. But basically, when you run an assembly line, you have the choice of running it the traditional way as you did previously. You ran and you got a log output from TDI on the screen, and you know that would basically either work or not. We've now added a separate button for data stepper that allows you then to step through and look at data, which is an easier way of doing it than going into the full debugger. And I'll first show you the data stepper, which is slide number 14. And this is based from a lot of feedback from customers because they like being able to configure connectors and click next and look at the data. But once they had done that and put the connectors into the assembly lines, they didn't have a similar way of stepping through the assembly line unless they jumped and learned the debugger, which had a slightly higher learning curve. And we've now seen that debugger is a huge power tool for advanced users. I mean, if you haven't used a debugger and you like TDI, you definitely need to click on debugger just to see what that product can do for you. We have videos showing that in use as well, so we should get you going pretty quickly. So the idea of a data stepper is to help new users understand what actually is going on when that assembly line executes. And then secondly, it's a motivation to help new TDI users to get to the debugger, because once you finally see how cool the data stepper is, then you might very well be motivated on clicking on the advanced button, which brings you then into the full debugger. And the final reason we did this is really to speed up the development time for people, because when you see things flowing, you catch bugs and problems much, much faster than you otherwise would, where otherwise you would be inputting test output code to print out certain things on the screen so that you could kind of pay attention to what was going on. But with the data stepper, you don't have to. You can just basically click through, and if everything works okay, you can just tell it to run to completion. And you'll see this on slide number 15. We have a slightly busy slide here, which is initially somewhat confusing, but the important point that in the upper left corner, you see the assembly line, the assembly line outline. You'll see your connectors and everything up there. And as it executes, it will highlight the connector that is the active one on the screen. Now, if you look at that that outline, there are four components in it. There's one in feed, and then there are three in the data flow. Now, in the main screen, in the middle, where we have these three columns, those each represent one of those connectors. We don't see all of the four on the screen, but you'll see that there's a blue bar towards the bottom, a slider that you can see. Basically, you see slightly the on the right hand, on the left hand side, you see as part of the feed connector. But the point here is that you can click next on top of the top red box, and the assembly line will then execute that next connector. And in the box in the middle, the green arrows there shows you that we jump from connector to connector, will update and display whatever was input or output to that connector at that cycle. And the yellow box on the right-hand side is basically indicate that that's where the assembly line is in terms of execution stage at this time. So when you click your assembly line, run in data stepper, you jump right into this thing. You can just click next, do nothing but just clicking next. And when you're happy with it, you can click run, and it runs to completion, just like as usual. And there's nothing more to it. There's no more buttons to press in this page than those two on the top. And on the bottom, we have another new feature that we call a data collector. It collects all of what you see above. So for each connector, you can then go back and look at it after you either run the entire assembly line or run 15 cycles, and you can click on a connector and see all of the data that's been going in and out of that connector. This can, of course, be a lot of data, so it's configurable to how big a window you want to keep in memory of this information. And you can click on it and copy that information into a spreadsheet. So it's also a very handy tool for data exploration and reporting. Next slide, number 16, is about the debugger. And as you see here, it looks less busy, but it actually is more busy because we don't have all the comments here. What we've done here is in the upper left corner, the assembly outline is a lot more detailed because it contains also the hooks and the attribute maps and all the detail that you're used to. And that's where you can add breakpoints and click in the box and say run until here. You can have conditional breakpoints. We'll only stop here if certain attribute has a certain value or another JavaScript expression holds true. And also in the middle of the screen, there's a long horizontal box in the middle with some green text in it, allows you to add your own JavaScript as you're executing. So basically, it's the data stepper on steroids, basically. And this is where power developers spend a lot of their time because this chops hours and days of any kind of development with TDI. And finally, slide number 17 shows you the current list of supported platforms. I'm not going to read that out. It's for those of you who are interested. And I'll jump on to the next slide, or the last slide, that has some reference materials on it. And this is what I strongly suggest that you do. We have these four videos, maybe only three of them are relevant, but at least watch those on the data stepper, the debugger, and easy ETL, and you'll really get a feel for how improved the user environment has become in 7.1. There's also a video that shows how to make your own scripted connector. That doesn't take many minutes at all to get something quite fancy going. Then we have a few links to different community sites with more TDI information. And towards the end, we have new red books and red papers. I have a couple listed there. But there's also more that you'll find if you go to the red book site and search for TDI. You'll probably find three or four that they made in the last couple of years that are quite valuable for the security space, for asset management, ticket service desk integration, and one that we call a robust integration using TDI, which has a number of tricks and tools on how to improve the availability and resilience of a TDI solution. So with that, my talk is over, and we're open to Q&A if you have anything. And if you don't, then remember my email address, and really feel free to bug me anytime. It's not bugging. I really enjoy talking to customers and other fellow IBMers about TDI.
Thank you. We're now ready to begin the question and answer session. If you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1. You may withdraw your question by pressing star 2. Once again, ask a question, please press star 1. One moment, please. Once again, ask a question, please press star 0. I'm sorry, star 1 to ask a question. And there are no questions.
Okay, so with that, we're done. And happy TDIing, everybody.
Thank you for participating in today's conference. You may disconnect at this time.